The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, Stockbridge. Also watching us on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 and on the PCTV Select app. We appreciate you tuning in this morning, watching, listening, as always. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It's Thursday, January 22nd, almost two-thirds of the way through January. We do have a couple of big weather things to get through this weekend, as I'm sure a lot of people are aware of already, and we're going to get a weather forecast in just a moment. I don't know if it'll quite get to the weekend, but we kind of know what's coming up, don't we? We've got a great show here for you this morning. We have Liana Toscanini and Hari Kumar. They're from Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires, and Liana recently has announced her retirement from the organization, so we're going to talk about that and the history of the organization and a little bit of what's next, so I'm really looking forward to that conversation we'll have this morning. First of all, let's get to that weather forecast from the National Weather Service and see what we have in store, at least for the next maybe 24 or 36 hours. Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Extreme cold watch in effect from Friday evening through Saturday afternoon. Today, partly sunny with a 20% chance of snow showers. Highs in the mid-30s. Temperature falling to around 30 this afternoon. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. Cold with lows around 13. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, and I guess that was the short version, but we know what's coming. So, yeah, we're going to have a really cold day on Saturday, really cold. And then we're going to get hit with some kind of a snowstorm. It seems like that snowstorm might hit southern parts of the country a little bigger than us. But we're going to get a little bit of the tail end of that. Just depends on how much they think we're going to get. Could it be, you know, a couple few inches of light, fluffy snow, or could we really get dumped on? I really don't know. The Eagles got it today as a wintry 1-2 punch. That's what they show here in the paper today. And also right under that, interestingly enough, bitter cold leaves 80 without gas in Pittsfield. Good thing they found it when they did, because you certainly wouldn't want that happening on Saturday. You want your heat for sure. So, yikes. All right. Welcome again to the show, Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And with me now, Liana Toscanini and Hari Kumar. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
All right. So glad to have you here. And I know you both had a travel to get here in the morning for a 7:30 a.m. shoot, show. So that's admirable. We appreciate it.
From opposite sides of the county, Liana is in Sandusfield. I'm in Williamstown. We're as far apart as you can get in Berkshire County, but close together in heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
I kind of feel that. I mean, my trip in is 15 minutes and I don't leave Pittsfield.
Yeah.
So just getting here from, I'm sorry, where was it again?
Sandusfield.
So, I mean, that's out there.
Yeah, I can go shopping in Winsted if I want. Yeah. It's equidistant to Great Barrington. So, yeah, it's the southernmost tip.
Yeah.
And Hari's in Williamstown, way up there.
And it's funny because I just had Lee Davis, the third Berkshire representative, on last week. And we were talking about how, you know, different perceptions that people from the eastern side of the state might have about the western. And just the idea that, okay, you know, if you're in Sandusfield, you're in touch with what's going on in eastern New York and northwestern Connecticut. If you're in Williamstown, you know, you're driving around with people driving with Vermont plates and New York plates all the time, right? And they, I think the folks in Boston and East sometimes don't really fully grasp that difference of how it is to live out here.
The fluid borders, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, so we've got the show here today to talk about Liana. So, Liana, you have announced a big sort of life moment here, right? At the almost a 10-year anniversary of the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. So tell us about that. What did you announce?
That timing was on purpose. So yeah, I announced that I'm stepping down this spring and retiring. I mean, you know, we don't really know what retirement means. If you know people, retired people in Berkshire County, right, they're way busier than they ever were in their corporate life. But
busier with better things a lot of times.
Yes,
right?
And a lot of
things that they really
things.
Love to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't even know who I am without work. Mm. So work has pretty much defined my life as a person with no kids, mm-hmm. right? I've worked real hard for a long time. And I'm really looking forward to a rest and, you know, seeing who I am mm-hmm. and doing things that I used to do a lot more of, like cooking and entertaining mm-hmm. and gardening and all that good stuff. So, and I knew that I was going to be turning 65 mm-hmm. at the 10-year anniversary of the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. So it seemed just like all round numbers, good time to let it go. And, you know, it's a little bit like seeing your kid off to college, yeah. right? You do all this work and you prepare them as best you can, and then you have to just let them go. So
right.
That's how I feel about this moment. Very excited. And also, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I can imagine. And being the founder of the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires, like you said, it's having a child that's leaving the nest in some ways. But give us a little background of what you did before that, because you had been involved with many nonprofits previous to that, which is obviously where you came up with the idea, I assume, and had the expertise to sort of guide that organization through. What did you do before?
So I graduated with a French major, which is, you know, good for nothing. But one of my first jobs was with a French perfume company.
Oh, wow.
In marketing. So mm-hmm. I ended up being a marketing person through no, you know, real thought mm-hmm. Of my own. And when I moved here in 97, I started using those marketing skills because there were lots of little nonprofits, the Historical Society, the Art Center, parks, you know, all kinds of little things going on in very rural Sandusfield that I got involved with. Mm. And so I...
Even in little rural Sandusfield, yeah. there are a lot of nonprofits, right?
Yes.
And that's one of the things that sort of... you know, makes the Berkshire special is that we have so many nonprofits. I think in your press release you had, was it over 1,000
yeah.
nonprofits in the county?
It's about 1,200
1,200.
Now. And, you know, some of those might be single people collecting books for children in South America. You know, it yeah. just, it's they're not all... what I call normal 501c3 organizations. Mm-hmm. Of those, I'd say they're about 500.
Okay.
So it's still pretty robust.
Yeah.
And I think people don't realize how many organizations that they interact with are actually nonprofits.
Right.
So we have this great program in the schools where we teach kids, you know, you were born in a nonprofit hospital, you went to a nonprofit nursery school, you went to a nonprofit camp, you visited the nonprofit museum and this nonprofit park, and they start to see through a slideshow that there are, you know, the third sector, which yeah. is what we call the nonprofit sector, is huge and pervasive. And so
that's really great, because I'm sure in high school or middle school or elementary school, I had no concept of
no
what
clue.
A nonprofit
yeah.
was, right? No idea whatsoever.
No clue. Yeah. And it's fun because we poll them about their perceptions, and it's really interesting to get to do the before and after surveys. So that's a fun program.
So you got involved with some nonprofits when you first got here. What did you get involved with? What kind of piqued your interest right away?
Really, it was the restoration of the Sandusfield Art Center, which was a historic building. It had been an Orthodox synagogue, first a Baptist church, then an Orthodox synagogue, and now a full-time art center. And that was a six-year restoration project that I was doing on the side while working full-time and partly remotely for a big nonprofit home textiles company. And so I used all my marketing skills and then some, picked up grant writing, fundraising, all that stuff. And then... had a retail store, a linen and gift shop.
And this is in Sandusfield as well?
My store was in Great Barrington.
Great Barrington. Okay.
And, you know, retail, also not for the faint of heart. And very difficult. And right when I was closing the store, a position became open at Community Access to the Arts, otherwise known as CATA, and I served there. I had been on the board for 5 years, and they figured, well, I got along well with everybody. Maybe I'd like to be on the staff, and so I served as development and marketing director for almost 10 years. So I had a long 14, 15-year history with CATA, and what I saw during that time was an organization, a really beloved organization, doing everything right. So I had that experience of how do you grow an organization? How do you grow a board? How do you make your gala make more money? How do you serve more people? And so between the little nonprofits and the slightly larger Community Access to the Arts, I had a good, I don't know, 20 years worth of experience when I decided to start the nonprofit center. And that, you know, the origin story is so Berkshire County. There was this 2-week period in 2015 where 6 or 7 different women grabbed me by the arm in the produce aisle of the grocery store and said, "You have to help me." And when they say that, they mean help us with fundraising, help us write a press release, help us write a grant, tell us who we can connect to do this or that. And so I thought, oh my goodness, this is a full-time job. And so I had that idea. Maybe this should be a full-time job.
Was that the spark then? Was just knowing that there was that need out there that you kept hearing over and over that people needed help, that they were running their nonprofits, but they couldn't quite, you know, get the things that they needed to get and they needed some help from the outside?
Yes, that was exactly it. And I had some sign on my head that said, "I'll help you." So, you know, I thought, oh, there has to be a better way. So I spent my whole Christmas vacation coming up with a business plan. I talked to about 50 people. And by April of 2016, we started, you know, and like every startup, you know, where's the money coming from? How is this going to work? But the startup year was the year that we started with our workshops, which are some of the most integral things we do as an organization. And we created the Giving Back Guide, which is the premier product of the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshire, designed to kind of connect the community members to nonprofits. So we knew we had to start with something that people could understand.
So in those early days, you say we. Who was we? Because I assume it was, and we have Hari this morning, who's a vice chair of the board now. You're a more recent addition,
That's right.
When did you get involved?
Just over a year and a half ago. And I remember driving down from Williamstown all the way to Sandusfield to meet Liana at her home. And it was a great way to get to know the Berkshires, driving down that way. But no, the early days, I mean, actually, Liana has been like a one-person powerhouse and has assembled a really cool team around her. But it really, when she says we, she's being modest.
Well,
and what? How did that start? Because obviously you were the engine that started it, but you couldn't do it completely alone. You needed a board of directors, right? You needed other people involved. How did that work out?
Like every other nonprofit startup, you go to all your friends and you say, "You will be on my board." And so that was a great group of people, including my neighbor, Ron Bernard, who is the historian for Sandusfield, and he's written a bunch of books. He's involved with the Knox Trail Celebration now. And not only did I say, "You will be on my board," but I somehow twisted his arm to be the chair of the board. And he had a pharmaceutical marketing background, real business guy, and he was very helpful. He also reviewed my business plan and had suggestions. But he was basically, his philosophy was, you know, be there and let her go, which my former boss in the home textiles industry also let me do. And that, you know, that was a thing. You know, I had to have that freedom to do what I thought was best. The one thing the board, the early board, convinced me to do is serve the entire county. I wanted to be the nonprofit center of South Berkshire County because I knew there were there were definitely 260 nonprofits, if not more. And I thought, well, that's enough for me. And why would I drive to Williamstown where I don't know anybody, right? So,
well, geographically, it is a challenge to serve the entire county Berkshire County. And it's just, I think it's just the way we're laid out. We're a very long, thin county, right? And we know that traveling from a Williamstown to a Sandusfield is going to take you a full, what, hour and a half?
Yep.
Most
yep.
of the time,
yep.
if you're lucky, if you hit all the lights. Yep.
And any regional organization, there are not that many of us. You know, there's one Berkshire and Berkshire Regional Planning. There's not that. And, you know, many nonprofits serve the entire county, and they'll all tell you, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
And back in those days, also, you didn't have some of the internet tools and things that we have now that are advantageous, right? To be able to meet people, you still had to, you know, get a date and say, okay, now everybody has to travel in, you know, find parking, get in, whatever. I'm sure that that has morphed over the years to make it much easier to connect these people from sort of the far-flung parts of the county.
COVID and Zoom changed everything.
Mm. Which happened, of course, right in the middle of your tenure at Nonprofit Center.
And webinars. I mean, we can now do these wonderful educational things, and we pull people in from Vermont and Connecticut and other places. So it's kind of great. Yeah.
So then so you've got the thing started up in the first year, and you've got a board of directors, and but it's just you, right, as essentially the staff.
Actually, not that far into the creation of the Nonprofit Center, I hired someone that I had hired for another organization, that I'd helped find an interview for another organization. That didn't work out. And the director of the other organization said, why don't you hire this person? And I said, well, I don't have a salary, and I certainly don't have any money to pay her. So we decided to hire her on a temporary basis. And that grew from one day a week to 2 days a week to 3 days a week. And she ended up being with the organization for the first five very important years. Mm. And I basically gave my salary to her because she was worth her weight, you know, three times her weight in gold. And her name is Elizabeth Stone. And in a happy coincidence, she left to start a family and just returned to us earlier this year. And she's a foundational component of the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires because she handles finance and email blasts and all these really foundational things. And she has institutional memory as well. So we now have a staff of 2.2, I guess you could say, two full-time and one part-time. And so that's really helped. When we looked at last year, 2025, and what we did, we, with those 2.2 people, we were able to triple the number of programs and double the attendance of what we do. So, you know, people equals program. People equals program. Mm-hmm. Lots of more convenings, more town halls with legislators, you know, more stuff like that. And that was kind of great.
Yeah. Outreach and tabling and things like that, right? All those things matter.
Yeah. Meet the donors, resource fair, volunteer fairs. Mm. But, you know, now we're in a time where nonprofits need to convene more, I think. Mm. They need to be able to talk to each other about what's happening and how they could support each other and collaborate. And that doesn't happen unless you're all in the same room. And as we had this conversation, how hard it is as an executive director to tear yourself away from your very long to-do list
really
and get
hard.
Out there and talk to people. It feels like a luxury, but it's not. In this day and age, networking is not a luxury. Mm. Convening, talking to people, listening to panel conversations, taking a workshop, it's not a luxury. Mm-hmm. I mean, the workshops, half the fun of the workshops is there's 20 other people with you in the same room. And sometimes we can't get them to stop talking so the teacher can actually teach, right? Because they're having such a good time.
They just never like middle school.
Yes, they never get to see each other. So there's an importance to convening in person. And Hari was kind enough to come to our last convening in Northern Berkshire County and see the work, see it for himself. And we had Representative John Barrett with us, and we went around the room and all the nonprofits talked about their challenges, and it was really eye-opening and heartfelt, and it felt supportive in its own way. I mean, we didn't really do anything except buy the coffee, get everyone in the same room, invite Rep. Barrett, but it was a great experience, and I was so glad that Hari was there to see it in action, you know.
Sometimes that's all it takes, is to make the right environment happen, and then you see what grows from that, right?
Yes.
Liana Toscanini, my guest here this morning, executive director of the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires, and Hari Kumar, the board vice chair of the organization, joining us to talk about Liana's upcoming retirement and what's next for the organization, if you're just joining us here this morning. So Hari, maybe talk about, was that your first convening of seeing that in person, or had you seen other ones before, and what were your impressions of that?
Oh, certainly, yeah. I had seen other gatherings before from the nonprofits. In fact, that's actually what drew me to the Nonprofit Center, is, you know, Liana's vision and the mission of the organization is really to help nonprofits connect, learn, and grow. And that connection piece is super important. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's a human need. You know, we as humans really want to connect with each other. But especially these days, as we were talking about, you know, the nonprofits in Berkshire County, one of the reasons why there are over 1,000 nonprofits in Berkshire County is that Berkshire County is a county where there are significant needs, and nonprofit organizations are intrinsically mission-driven organizations. And so you have people who really care about the mission of serving the communities where we live, love, and labor. But in these times, those very organizations and those very missions are under a lot of attack and a lot of threat. And so during those threatening times, it's very natural for people to kind of just hunker down. But when we know that the best thing to do is to actually do the opposite of that, is to connect. As Liana was saying, connection these days is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And that's a big part of why I came to the Nonprofit Center, is to find that sense of connection.
And ironically, it feels like sometimes, even though we have multiple new avenues in which to connect, we're actually connecting less, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that ironic to think that you know, we're not getting together as much, even though it's important to have those tools and to be able to, you know, instantly communicate with someone and figure something. Like, things used to take days or weeks. I think of the number of things that we had to do by mail, right, to send letters and then get responses, and, you know, or, you know, even purchasing and quotes and things like that. All had to be, you know, slow connect. And now it's instantly fast. Whereas, you know, if you need to connect with someone, you fire off an email and you're immediately, you know, in touch with them. But are you really connecting?
That's right. Local author Nicholas Carr, based up in Williamstown, has a great book, just came out last year, called Superbloom, you know, How Technologies of Connection Actually Drive Us Apart. And so the antidote to that is actually that real work of oftentimes in person. And that's what you get in at the Nonprofit Center when you come to one of these gatherings. You have people, mission-driven people, gather together, and the conversation ends up being, you know, gets a lot more deeper than you can get on an email.
Mm-hmm. And Liana, I know one of the things I wanted to ask you as we were going through the timeline of founding and starting up the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires was challenges, right? There's always challenges. Every nonprofit organization listening right now will say, well, we've got our challenges too. We all understand that is sort of baked in the cake, right? We know that is part and parcel of running an organization like this. What were some of the biggest challenges you ran into initially starting this all up from scratch, and then over the course of the 10 years, I'm sure that COVID is going to figure in somewhere into that conversation. But what are the things that stuck out to you were the biggest things that had to be overcome?
So I think for the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires, it's always been a capacity thing. I mean, I work hard and I work many hours a week, and I can do, you know, when I was in my 30s, I used to do the work of three people. Let's say it's two people now. But to serve the whole county and to constantly innovate and come up with new things. I mean, we probably have 24 or more programs that we do. And some things are little, like the gala calendar, but someone had to do it, right? Someone had to have a calendar so that people don't plan their big fundraising events on the same day.
That always seems to happen to us too, though. And maybe I'm just not reading the gala calendar. It just seems like every time we make our annual meeting, where it's on the night of someone else is doing something big, where we're losing all the people that would normally come to our annual meeting,
right? Yeah. Well, and the calendar kind of helps you see, oh, it's okay if I schedule schedule my thing on the same day as that because these are two different audiences.
Sure.
So that's not, or we can do it earlier in the day so people can do both. So it is helpful and it's a dumb little thing, but someone had to do it. And then we do big things like the Berkshire Nonprofit Awards, the Giving Back Guide, the Resource Fair, where we connect businesses, local businesses to nonprofits and even some regional businesses. Those things take a lot of manpower or woman power or people power. And so and lots of planning and details and things like that. But I would say
so it's just a capacity thing. That was
it's always been capacity. Right? You need money. Right. So there's a fundraising issue, a challenge to raise enough money to hire enough people. And you can't really always just drop volunteers into the job and say, you know, here you go. We have enough people now, right? It's and we've had some great volunteers, many of whom are board members and roll up their sleeves, you know.
Like it's impossible to do it without the volunteers and without the board members. But there are some things that you just can't do reliably with that sometimes, right?
Right.
It just happens that way.
I mean, I have volunteer proofreaders for the Giving Guide, a great group of ladies. You know, there are all kinds of interesting volunteer jobs, but basically to keep track of 200 nonprofit members, you know, 60 business members and, you know, heavy programming, 25, 30 events a year. It's you need a real person. It's highly administrative when you're a membership based organization. So there's a lot of detail and it's just Excel spreadsheets and all kinds of stuff like that. So, you know, capacity building relates to funding. And if you're running a nonprofit, as you well know, it's very hard to find the time to fundraise to really focus on that. So that's a conundrum that many, many nonprofit startups face, and it's just the way of the world. But
it's hard not to have it tip into the area where you feel like all you're doing is fundraising, too, right?
That, too. I mean, and, you know, all the time spent there is not spent creating new programs.
Yeah.
So, but we've been fortunate because we've grown slowly and intentionally over 10 years with increased support every year from local funders and then regional funders. And so that's been kind of great. And I think it was really just a result of the work. You know, people eventually noticed, right? So there's that, any startup has that initial challenge of people aren't sure you're going to be here next year.
Yeah.
Right? So there's some skepticism, some doubt. People really...
Is it tough to get over that? I mean, not only you have your own self-doubt and your own skepticism that you have to just fight off, right, and say, no, we can definitely do this. And then you have to fight off everyone else's skepticism and say, no, you know, you have to believe in this.
You know, founders are very determined people. They see the gap, they have the vision, and they're like, go, go, go. So that is not really an issue. The issue is to hang in there long enough and to find the resources to hang in there long enough to get to the point where people are like, oh, this is something, right? This is important. This is impactful. I see it happening, right? And so that for us took 3 or 4 years. And we did develop earned income streams as well. So we have 8 or 9 revenue streams. We don't rely on any one thing, which in this day and age is very fortunate.
Yeah.
And that was also on purpose. And, you know, it somehow magically happens. You get I'll say the first Berkshire Bank Foundation was the first sort of local organization to really believe in the nonprofit center after some initial skepticism. Lori Kiley's been great and helped us fund core programs. But then Representative Smitty Pignatelli came in and got us an earmark, which was huge because earmarks, not everyone has one, and we don't really want to compete for funding with the nonprofits we serve, right? Yeah. So we have to kind of look for money in different places, and that was a key place, and it was made possible because of the breadth of programming we do and the number of people served. You know, the Commonwealth can get in there and support that a little bit, and then...
They probably see it as an example of an organization that if they do an earmark and fund that organization, it can help so many other organizations. Right? So that seems to be a no-brainer in some ways.
Yeah, it's that force multiplier thing, which, you know, you can see it in big gestures like that and then in small stories. You know, like we've helped nonprofits find new executive directors, just making connections between people, as you do. And those executive directors have gone on to triple the budget of the nonprofit and really make them so much more successful. And that was all done behind the scenes. No one knows. You know, it's just we don't blow our own horn in that sense. But it's gratifying because we know we're making impact, even if nobody else knows. And that, you know, to me, that's always been the most important thing. I answer to myself. And so, you know, luckily for the Berkshires, I push myself pretty hard. So, but I have enjoyed it every step of the way. Yeah. The work is so much fun. And, you know, because it's about people. And I like the administrative work, too. So, you know, I'm the only one I know that likes writing a grant for some reason.
Well, that's a blessing because not everybody does, for sure. That can be very difficult, daunting and challenging for many people, which is, I'm sure, where the workshops come in to say it isn't that big, scary monster after all. Right. It can be done. Here's how to do it. Here's how to maybe enjoy doing it. And here's how to be successful. Right.
Yeah.
Liana Toscanini and Hari Kumar, my guests here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM. We're talking about the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires and Liana's imminent retirement sometime this spring. I don't know what the exact date is. Maybe we'll talk about that in the second half of the show. But we will take that top of the hour break right now. We've reached the 8 o'clock time, and we will give you our station identification, a couple of public service announcements. Certainly thank our underwriters, the people that help keep this radio station on the air as a nonprofit organization as well. And we'll be back with that conversation in just a moment. Again, Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio. 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Wonder what happened to those great local PCTV channels? Did you lose them? No worries, they're still there. Go to cable channels 1301, 1302, and 1303 to watch the best local content on television. News and information, sports and entertainment, city council, school committee, July 4th parade. It's all there waiting for you. Pittsfield Community Television. For over 30 years, we are still your local television.
Are you struggling with your pet? Berkshire Humane Society is here to help. We have a pet food pantry, low-cost cat spay and neuters, free pet care advice, and if you're in the hospital or in crisis, temporary foster care. If you need to give up your pet, we'll accept your animal with kindness and find them the best new home possible. Please call Berkshire Humane Society at 413-447-7878.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hi, it's Jen Glockner. I'm the director of the Office of Cultural Development for the wonderful city of Pittsfield, and I also host the Cultural Pittsfield radio show on WTBR. It airs every Friday at 8:30 in the morning. Stay tuned to learn all about the arts and culture scene for the city of Pittsfield and beyond. We hope you listen in every Friday at 8:30 on 89.7 FM WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Listening to us also on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge, the PCTV Select app live, and on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301. Thanks for joining us this morning on Thursday, January 22nd. I'm seeing it's about 32 degrees outside right now and outside the studio, and that is warmer, much warmer than it was yesterday. Boy, we had a cold one yesterday. And we know we're going to have some cold and snowy stuff coming up this weekend. So this is kind of our reprieve here today. If you want to get out and walk or do something nice, maybe go to the store. This isn't such a bad day to do it. It'll feel like just an ordinary winter day, not a terrible, you know, blustery winter day like we've got coming up. If you're just joining us on the show, Liana Toscanini and Hari Kumar are here from the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. And we're talking about Liana's impending retirement, what's next for the organization. So first, let's get to the weather forecast one more time here and see what the National Weather Service has in store for us today. Berkshire
weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Extreme cold watch in effect from Friday evening through Saturday afternoon. Today, partly sunny with a 20% chance of snow showers. Highs in the mid-30s. Temperature falling to around 30 this afternoon. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. Cold with lows around 13. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, and we know that we've got some really cold and snowy weather coming up for us Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be struggling to get over 0 degrees on Saturday night, and then we're just going to get piled on, at least with some snow. We don't know exactly how much. I think maybe south of us is going to get a little more, but I don't think we're going to miss this one for sure. We'll have to see if that has any impact with schools on Monday morning. I was hearing this morning that maybe most of it's over by Sunday night, and they're just a little light snow showers on Monday. We'll see. Anybody who wants to know what happens with the school wants to know immediately, are we going to have school on Monday morning? We'll find out. All right. Once again, Morning Drive here at 89.7 WTBR-FM. Liana and Hari, thanks again for being here this morning and talking with us. Hari, I really didn't get a chance to ask you much in the first half, but what do you think are the greatest strengths of the Nonprofit Center? And when you first got involved, did you have some impressions of the organization, and have those changed over the time that you've been on the board and that you've been involved?
Oh, thank you so much. When I moved here, one of the things I was looking to do was to get more involved in the community and in organizations. And in the process there, I'm also a founder myself. I had started a volunteer organization, doing voter protection work and helping voters learn their rights and learn how to vote. And I was in the process of also starting my own business. And my business is all about, my business is called Convivo, and it's about helping people connect by building authentic communication skills. And I knew that one of the types of organizations I really wanted to work closer with were mission-driven organizations. Hmm. And everybody that I spoke to when I was new to the Berkshires was like, oh, you've got to meet Liana Toscanini. You've got to get, And so I just kept hearing Liana's name over and over again. And then I looked up what Liana does at the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. I was like, wow, this organization gets it. The very first word in their mission is connect, to help nonprofits connect, learn, and grow. We're kindred spirits. We've got to meet. And so when I reached out to Liana, and amidst everything Liana does, one of the awesome things is that she's always finds that time for that new conversation, especially with somebody who's new to the Berkshires. I still don't know how you do it, but I'm so thankful that you said, yeah, come on down to Sandersfield.
Well, you drove down to Sandersfield, so that was a big help.
Yeah. She offered to meet over Zoom, and I was coming out of the tech industry at the time, and I was just sick and tired of Zoom for reasons we talked about before the break,
yeah.
Right? But I'm so glad I did. And so my first impressions of the Nonprofit Center and of Liana were just this laser focus on that mission. Of helping nonprofits connect, learn, and grow. And in fact, our very first conversations were when Liana found out that my passion is actually doing training workshops and communications workshops. She immediately invited me to come to her next workshop and began brainstorming things that I could offer to nonprofits as well. And that's Liana. She's a connector at heart. Like, her mind already, like, you know, she's got like this database in her mind of like, okay, here's this person, here's this organization, here's this skill gap that's needed, here's this area of expertise. And this is one reason why everybody, you know, when they have a challenge and they have a puzzle, the first person they think of is, oh, Liana is the person that can help me with this puzzle. So that was my initial impression. And that impression has only gotten deeper. And I just appreciated that much, much more.
Nice.
And so over the past 2 years or so, what we've seen when I joined the board, and I mean, the rest of the board, it's also a really amazing board. So
how many on the board?
There are 8 right now. Mm-hmm. We are recruiting. Mm-hmm. We do need more. So if you listening or watching are also passionate about mm-hmm. mission-driven organizations, reach out.
Do you have different members from different parts of the county?
Yes, we try mm-hmm. hard to ensure that there's a distribution there. Mm-hmm. So currently the chair of the board, Emily Schiavone, is up in North County mm-hmm. along with me. So mm-hmm. we're North County, you know, folks up there. And then we have a couple, about 3 or 4 board members from Southern Berkshire County, 1 board member who actually is based in Springfield, and then the rest of the board is from Central Berkshire County. So we try to ensure that we have an even distribution there.
Yeah. Liana, what surprised you the most over the tenure that you've had with the center as far as the variety and the distribution of different nonprofit organizations? Because obviously you came from a nonprofit, you knew what nonprofits did. Did you really have a concept of how many different nonprofits there were and what they all did, that there were so many different missions out there?
You know, honestly, I don't think I was able to wrap my arms around it until I started the work. Hmm. And, you know, my first thought was, I need a list. Who are all the nonprofits in Berkshire County? Mm-hmm. And there was no list, which is partly how the Giving Guide came around, which has a directory of all Berkshire nonprofits by category. I needed it, so I made it. And now everyone uses it for the same reason, right? To sort of try to wrap your head around such a robust sector. And it is big. I mean, in the country, if you go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, if it exists anymore, Berkshire County ranks 27th in the nation for nonprofit employment. Hmm. So one in
as
four
per
people,
capita.
Yeah,
mm.
one in 4 people in Berkshire County is employed by a nonprofit. So that's a huge part of our economic engine. And, you know, I didn't know, I've been collecting statistics now for 10 years, but I didn't know any of this. And I remember thinking, how am I going to remember everyone's name? You know, all these executive directors, I knew a few, but not hundreds. So maybe in my spare time in retirement, one of the things I'd love to do is create an old-fashioned yearbook, like Facebook, but pictures of every nonprofit executive director so that, you know, maybe in alphabetical order by organization. So
people
can start.
Some of us have faces for radio, though, by the way. Just saying.
Well, I just hate going to events and saying, I know that person. I just can't remember which organization they're from. So, you know, obviously I probably shouldn't run for office given that problem. But yeah, it's
that's a special skill set.
It's huge. Yeah. And what I am continually surprised by is that, you know, my never ending to-do list, there is no end to what nonprofits need. Mm-hmm. And there are many things we haven't done yet, like a state of the sector report would be handy, an asset inventory. I mean, I always say PCTV is a huge asset to the nonprofit sector. All of our community radio and television stations are for helping us tell our story. And there's no list anywhere that lists all the assets that are available to nonprofits. So, so much more work to be done, right? And I just, you know, I ran out of time, but I will happily pass my list on to the next person. But that's what surprised me the most is this never-ending need.
Yeah. What are you most proud of the growth over the last 10 years? What sticks out to you that you say, well, I didn't think I'd be able to do that, but look at us now.
Well, and I've seen this with other nonprofits too, that growth, you know, as you near your 10-year mark and all of a sudden instead of a budget of 100 or 200, you're approaching a budget of a $500,000, and it, you know, it somehow happened magically with a lot of hard work. But I would say that I'm pretty proud of being recognized by the Barr Foundation in Boston. They have a small part of their philanthropy recognizes capacity building and connector organizations. And, you know, we are few and far between. There are only three organizations in Massachusetts like us, us and two others. And
that's interesting. I didn't realize that we'd only have that many in the entire
state. Well, there are
state
organizations. Yeah. Every state has its nonprofit network, and they all are members of the National Council of Nonprofits. Mm-hmm. But the more regional ones, like the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires, Cambridge Coalition, Metro West Nonprofit Network, we are few and far between. And the Barr Foundation is really interested in exploring what is it about these organizations, how can they support them, are there lessons learned, should there be more of these? And so, you know, if you think about it, if every state has three, that's only 150 of us, and all of our models are unique. So one thing I'm proud of is our particular model. It's very broad in terms of programming and the way our revenue is diversified. But three people reached out in 2025 from other states to say, we are starting nonprofit centers. We have been researching online, and the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires is by far the best model. And we would love to speak with you about, you know, getting some advice, you know, and that's been really kind of great, too. So I think the model itself and then being recognized a little bit more widely outside of the Berkshires for being an important capacity builder for nonprofits.
Did your model have to change over the years? Did you come in with one concept of what you could accomplish and then realized that there was more need and that you were able to morph that a little bit? Did any of that happen?
I think early on this particular model developed. It was all about revenue diversification, sustainability, you know, all that good stuff. But originally, I had the intention of doing a lot more consulting, thinking people need help grant writing, they need all these things, and I'm going to do all that. Well, that didn't happen. It quickly became apparent that I couldn't run and create programs, run a nonprofit, and also do that. So, and at the same time, people like Hari were coming to me and saying, I just moved here, and I do this, this, and this. And I was like, aha. So early on, we started connecting people to consultants, and many of those folks were doing the work pro bono or for a very modest fee. And that became a great, we didn't set out to do that, but it turns out that we are the connecting organizations for small businesses and consultants who have skills, people, retirees, you know, people who have skills who are happy to work with nonprofits for in any way, shape or form. And that's kind of great. We use a ton of consultants and retired people to share their skills. And I think it,
the need
it
is
gives,
still there.
It feels purposeful. You know, it's good work.
Yeah. You're just joining us. We're speaking with Liana Toscanini, Hari Kumar from the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. And Liana will be retiring this spring. So we're talking about what's next for the organization. And Hari, you are the chair of the search committee and also the vice chair of the board. Tell us about the succession plan. What is sort of how are those wheels turning? And it sounds like you've had some time to sort of gear up for this. It's not a surprise. This has all been planned. So what are you and the board and the committee doing to ensure the sort of viability of the organization in the future?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, and first of all, thanks to Liana. You know, from when she started the organization, she's been thinking about succession. And that's remarkable. You know, as a founder, she's been thinking about the strategy of what comes next from the very beginning. And so even when I started on the board, it was one of the first things that Liana mentioned to me. It was like, hey, you know, yes, you're joining this board, but just so you know, I'm already thinking about what's coming next, retiring.
Were you expecting that, to hear that early on?
No, not really. You know, it was surprising, but it was also just really refreshing. You know, I'm a founder myself, and I know full well as a founder, you get so attached emotionally to the organization that you're founding. And now I've founded two organizations, and they're both so dear to me. And so to hear Liana say that, I was like, that was a good lesson for me as a founder too, right? Is to hold what I'm creating loosely and passionately. But, you know, so in terms of like thinking about succession planning, Liana has been thinking about this for a while. Most of us on the board, we're coming alongside and taking that on. So that Liana can really retire with peace of mind, knowing that this amazing organization that she has, you know, grown will be in good hands. Mm-hmm.
And you're hoping to get some transition time in there, assuming that the schedule of doing the search and doing the hiring and bringing someone on, will there be some overlap in time?
That's right. So we started the search process last February, and we launched the search officially last October. And we're working with this really, really great search firm, EOS Transitions. Catherine Bradshaw is our search consultant. She's been amazing. And we've already received over 80 applicant applications. And we're in the process of actually beginning our first round of interviews as a board with the top 8, 9 or so candidates. And we expect that by late March, early April, we will have a decision in place to for the next person to come in. So, and then the transition plan from there is there will be a season for onboarding the new person. And so we're planning through what that looks like. And of course, one of the, that's the nitty gritty of the logistics. I can talk through the strategy and the vision in a second. But that's the rough timeline that we're looking at.
Well, let's talk about the vision for it and where you see that heading. And will it be, Liana, what's your actual date? Is it June 30th? Or do you not have a firm date yet?
I think it all depends on when the new person is available to come on board. Mm-hmm. If it's April 1, I'm probably out the door by the end of May after the Berkshire Nonprofit Awards. Mm-hmm. But if it's May 1, then there's a little, you know, entry into summer and gardening season. So I'll be balancing planting and planting, as Hari likes to say, planting the seeds for the future there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the sector is big, so there's a lot of meetings that have to happen, and that's very time consuming while you're trying to do program and other things. So it'll be really interesting, but I have full confidence in this board. The board leadership has taken this job so seriously and worked so hard over so many meetings over the last year, and that is the job's, that's the board's job.
Yeah.
But, you know, not everyone has the skill set or the passion or takes their jobs as seriously. So I feel lucky that, and that was a little on purpose too. We, you know, we've been recruiting serious board members for a while now, to knowing that this was coming. And Hari was someone relatively new to the board that I did not think would raise his hand to be in a leadership position, but somehow got encouraged by the entire board to do it and volunteered to do it. So that is also lucky. You don't always have volunteers to do the hard work.
Yeah. And Hari, what has that hard work been like? How much time have you put in, and have you learned anything new during that process?
Oh, every day I'm learning something new.
That's great.
Yeah. I know, as a learner, as a storyteller myself, that's what makes me tick. Mm-hmm. It's really been a pleasure and a joy to work with my fellow board members. Liana's right. The NPC board is a special group of people, and each of them are, you know, experts in their fields, but also so gracious and generous with their time and their wisdom. And so every time I've run into a puzzle or a challenge, you know, with the search process or with the transition process, just talking to one of my fellow board members has been eye-opening. Like, somebody has some wisdom and some advice there. So in terms of what that process has been like, you know, as Liana said, like, it is our job as a board to take that responsibility seriously. So for this past year, one of the things we've been working through as a board is really embracing that and thinking through, yes, you know, a lot of this was Liana's mission and vision and passion, and we have to do right by that mission, vision, and passion, because once Liana leaves, we are responsible for this organization.
Right.
We're responsible for bringing this organization forward. So one of the things we've been doing is really doubling down on the story of the organization. And as a storyteller myself, and as somebody who coaches organizations on mission-driven storytelling, one of the approaches that we take is, who's the center of the story? Who's the central character of the story? It's not NPC. It's not, the story is not about us. The story has to be about who we serve. And just like with any organization, the story of that organization can't be about just that organization. It has to be about, why does that organization exist in the first place? Who does that organization exist to serve? That person is the main character in that organization's story. So for us, we see the main character in our story as the nonprofits of Berkshire County. Now, each of those, for them, their main character is the communities they serve, which is the communities of Berkshire County. And so when we think about that, we think about, all of the people in Berkshire County are the main characters in the overall story. Each of them is facing lots of different challenges. And these nonprofits exist to help those communities overcome those challenges or realize some larger intrinsic value, intrinsic benefit. Those nonprofits are going through lots of challenges. Each of those nonprofits are small, mighty powerhouses of mission-driven folks who are pouring blood, sweat, and tears into their jobs. So how can we make them successful? How can we come alongside them and be a supporting character in their story? That's the role of the board, is to really think about the Nonprofit Center now. The largest challenge for us is, for so long, the nonprofit sector in Berkshire County has really seen Liana as this amazing person who has been a supporting person for them. And we have to kind of set some expectations of like, well, you know, those are huge shoes to fill. And it's unreasonable to expect anybody to do Liana's job. It's unreasonable to, we can't even find two people to do Liana's job, let alone three people to do Liana's job, because Liana is doing three people's jobs. So one of the first things we need to do is to set some expectations and say like, look, the Nonprofit Center of Berkshire County is still going to be around. It's still going to be there as a supporting character. It's going to look a little different, and it's going to do things a little differently. And you're going to have to give us a little bit of time, because we're not going to be able to do what Liana did. However, it does allow us to really take a look at what does the Nonprofit Center need to be to serve Berkshire County. Liana mentioned strategic planning, and that's one of the first things we need to do. Nonprofits in Berkshire County are going to be, are already living through the tired phrase, unprecedented times.
Yes.
So like, what can
what's
we,
coming today?
What's coming
all
today?
All we want to know.
It's, yeah. So preparing for that uncertain future is a big part of what we'll be doing as a board. Mm-hmm.
And I guess as I'm listening to what you're saying there, it really shows the importance of having a really great, engaged board of directors for the continuance of an organization, right? You can only rely on even a founder or an executive director or a staff for so long, because we have transitions. Things happen. People move on. It happens to every organization. And yet the board of directors, if they're engaged the way they should be, and I know that you have had workshops also for boards of directors to do those very things, because when a transition like that happens, the board has to step up and fill those roles and say, no, the organization has to continue, right, and has to fulfill its mission and serve its vision, all the other things that have to happen while this transition goes on.
That's absolutely right, yeah. And so a big part of for us as a board is really thinking through that very carefully and thinking through what are those programs that absolutely need to continue. And as part of that, the whole board of directors, as you said, like we are all people that, you know, care deeply about the Berkshires. And many of us, you know, really have our ears to the ground. And so a lot of the work over this past year and what we'll be doing as a board going through the transition as well, it's a lot of that deep listening to nonprofits in Berkshire County, you know, coming alongside them, making sure that they see us. Mm-hmm. For a very long time as a board, you know, we kind of were in the background because Liana was out there, right? But
really, it's a central role to an organization, right? And
absolutely.
Liana, you can speak to that a little bit, is that it's so important to have that support and that, you know, essentially the board of directors are the owners of the organization. They're the ones signing at the end of the day that the organization moves forward, and staff will come and go, even if it is every 10 years or every 20 or 30 years. Sometimes people will stay in those roles.
I hope more community members step up and serve on boards, because I think that at this time for nonprofits, you know, all the help they can get, right? And
absolutely,
we have some very skilled community members here. I mean, you're listening to one, right? They don't always think immediately like Hari did of, I'm going to move here and 3 weeks later after I unpack my boxes, I'm going to get involved in the nonprofit sector. But I feel like I hope that NPC continues to create those connections for people so that they can step up, whether it's training or just places to meet You know, we have a wonderful Get On Board program that one of our own board members, Maggie Buchwald, created to place community members at nonprofits. It's been really successful. We've placed dozens of fabulous board members. So I hope that there's more of that because it feels like there's a place for everyone.
Yeah. What do you want your legacy to be in the last minute we have here, Liana?
Oh, my goodness. I'd just like the organization to continue to be nimble and innovate and keep serving nonprofits and just for it to keep going.
Yeah. And what do you see yourself doing afterwards? I think gardening sounds like it's in your future.
Reading. How about that? Right. Entertaining, things, cooking. Yeah. All those good things. Writing a book. Taking an art class, taking Italian. I have such a long list.
The list never goes away,
The list never goes. But I imagine that I will find myself in coffee shops talking to nonprofits one way or another as a friend or, you know, as someone that people will continue to seek out just like they did when I had the original light bulb moment. Mm.
Liana Toscanini, we want to say thank you for the service you've put in and best of luck in your retirement.
Thank you so much.
It's been great working with you here and doing the kinds of things that we've certainly had a lot of interactions here with you as well at PCTV and WTBR-FM. Hari Kumar, best of luck putting the rest of the search together and hiring the right person to lead the organization forward.
Thank you so much. And do stay tuned. We'll have a celebration for Liana toward the end of the spring. And so please bring all the flowers. Liana has earned every single flower. And thank you, Liana, so much for everything you've done for Berkshire County.
And thank you. Yeah.
Thank you both for being here. And we appreciate all of our viewers and listeners. Morning Drive continues again tomorrow morning. Take care, everybody.